I wasn't sure if there was special music today, so I didn't want to jump up too fast. Good morning. Most of you know me, and you might be surprised when I tell you that speaking before our congregation during worship time makes me very nervous. I'm not usually one who's known to be short on words. I know that a lot of you know me as a prankster, as a joker. I was always the class clown, and I always love a good laugh. And as I'm fond of saying, I know that God has a sense of humor. But when I was asked to come up here and speak, I found it very intimidating, frightening for me, because standing up here on the pulpit preaching is serious business. I love humor, but when you're standing up here representing the Lord before my church family, it scares me. And so when I was asked, I was intimidated, but then I thought, you know what? This is my church family. I'm an elder in my church. If not me, then who? So I said yes. And so I absolutely, when I start with prayer, will be asking the Lord to help me and to help us as we get through this together. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, I am not a preacher, but Lord, I am your servant. I am here before the family of God, my church family, and I know you're by my side. So I ask, Lord, that you be with me and be with this congregation, that we might have a blessing with one another. Father, we have troubled times and we must lean on you. So help us to lean on you together. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I love that, you know, God does put just the right people and the right circumstances together at the right time. The first hymn, God Will Take Care of You, that was perfect because I just needed that as I was preparing to speak this morning. So I'm glad to hear that. You know, we live in a sad time in many ways. And of course, we had an example of that just this last week in Boston. We will never understand what causes the kind of hate that would exact such pain and misery on so many by so few. But we accept that it does happen. But we also know that through that kind of hate and through that kind of senseless violence, God raises up heroes. And we saw, you know, in the multimedia age, we expect to see this stuff in real time. And actually, unfortunately and sadly, we do. The Boston Marathon was highly televised. We saw these bombs going off, in fact, over and over and over again. And we saw real suffering. We saw real people fall to the ground. We saw this in real time. But what we also saw were many people rising to the occasion, running into harm's way, not knowing whether these were the only bombs or not, but they ran in and helped. So we see the worst of mankind, but that also brings out the best in mankind. So even though we live in dark times, we have a bright hope and a bright future if we're willing to look for it and lean on it. I want to talk about heroes, and there are different kind of heroes. There are fictional heroes. There are real heroes. There are very personal heroes in our own lives. I was raised in the television age, and I love a good hero. You know, I didn't realize Superman's cape was red until the first movie came out, because I watched it for years in black and white. And I loved Superman. I loved superheroes. I loved Captain America. Underdog was my favorite cartoon. Batman, Iron Man, Wonder Woman. The list goes on of all of these superheroes. But what makes a superhero? Well, you got to have a cape. You got to have some bling. You have to have a flashy outfit. You need stretchy pants. You've got to have the, hey, look at me suit. That's what a superhero has. In addition, a superhero also has to have superpowers. Because what good would a superhero be if he doesn't have superpowers? Superpowers like superhuman strength, able to lift buses, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, be faster than a speeding bullet. You know where I'm going. You've got to have a superpower to be a superhero. And you know what superheroes ultimately rely on? Conflict. What's the point of being a superhero if you don't have a bad guy to chase? And all good superhero movies, TV shows, comic books, they all end in the climactic fight. They all have the big showdown. And where the superhero vanquishes evil and defeats the foe and saves the day and usually gets the girl at the end too. So why do we need heroes? What do we look for? Why do we look for forces beyond ourselves to help? Why do we have to make this stuff up, basically? You know, and I know there's probably a whole psychology behind it. Callie probably studied it in depth when she was in her schooling. What is it about the human nature that makes us make up powers greater than ourselves? You know, about making stuff up, I remember sitting in church once when Pastor Steve was speaking, and I think he was off on one of his tangents. And he was saying, you know, Steve is a voracious reader, and he is. And he told the story of how he told his dad how he wanted to read this novel, this fiction. And his dad said to him, "Son, you can read all the fiction you want as soon as you're done reading the good nonfiction." And of course, you never get there. There's so much good stuff. There's so much drama in reality that you don't really need to make it up. What's that saying, you know, about life? Life being better than fiction. It's true. So there are real life heroes. You know, I'm not saying we don't need heroes. We do need heroes. Heroes set tremendous examples and give us hope and things to strive for. A small list of my heroes. How many of you heard of Desmond Doss? Private First Class Desmond Doss. He was a private, just another guy serving his country in World War II. Yet he was the first and one of only three conscientious objectors to ever receive the Medal of Honor. Most of you know what he did, and he didn't just do it once. He, of course, refused to bear arms during World War II, but he wanted to serve his country, and so he did as a medic. And during the taking of the island of Okinawa and the Battle of the South Pacific, one of the bloodiest battles of the war, tens of thousands of American soldiers and even more thousands of Japanese lost their lives on that tiny little island. Desmond Doss ran up and down what was referred to as the escarpment, the cliff, more than 75 times, bringing wounded soldiers back down with him. That was just on the first day. Over the next two-week period, so the citation read by President Eisenhower during the presentation, he saved over 200 lives that were documented by his commanders. And who knows how many more soldiers he ministered to during that time, not knowing what would happen to him next. Martin Luther changed the world. And what did he do? He was a German monk, a priest. But he read his Bible, and he saw some things that needed to be corrected. So what did he do? He wrote them down, and he published his 95 theses and put them on the cathedral at Wittenberg and changed the world. And what did he get for it? A life in exile. There's another hero that he's not well known, and he's still alive at age 96. Captain Louis Zamperini. He was a World War II bomber pilot who crashed in the Pacific, and he spent 47 days at sea. He still holds the record for being stranded at sea on a life raft until his life raft landed in the Marshall Islands, some 1,000 miles beyond the point he was shot down. He was immediately captured by the Japanese and spent the next 3 years as a Japanese, as a POW in Japan. When he was finally released, when he finally came home after the war, he suffered with depression and alcoholism. His life was spiraling downward out of control when his wife forced him to go to a Billy Graham crusade. A young Billy Graham in 1946, who was speaking in a tent in Los Angeles. It changed Zamperini's life. It gave him purpose, and he became a lay evangelist minister, and he, well, of course, he's retired, but he's done that the rest of his life. He wanted to give back to the people who had given so much to him. Mother Teresa, oh my goodness, she founded the Sisters of Charity, and she lived for 49 years in the slums of Calcutta. We have wonderful heroes amongst us. How about your personal heroes? We can bring it closer to home. We all have heroes, people that we know, that we look up to and we call our heroes. For myself, my mom is my hero. My mom raised my sister and me as a single mother. My dad died when I was 3 and she never remarried. And I remember we'd get up every morning. She'd drive us to the babysitter. She'd go to work, pick us up at night, come home, fix us dinner, clean the house. Finally, somewhere around 8 o'clock, she'd come and sit down in her favorite chair. We always knew to leave mom's chair alone. And then she'd get up and do it again the next day. And she did that for all of our young lives. And she did it with a smile. And my mom, for those of you who knew her, because she came to live with us for a time before she passed away, she never had a mean word to say about anybody. She went to church faithfully. She served in her church, giving back everything she could. She believed in service. She believed in the goodness of people and that there was always something good to be found in someone. She lived her life that way, and I'm so grateful for that example. So she is my personal hero. I have an uncle. He passed away also, but he was born in Mexico, and he came up to the United States, and with his family, was a migrant worker following the crops up along the San Joaquin Valley and through Arizona. He went to public school. He went to City College, State College. He finally earned a PhD from UCLA and became a political science professor at UC Santa Cruz. And you know, I loved him as a little boy. He was a kid magnet. He had charm and charisma. All the kids, including myself, were drawn to him. But he used to tell me, he would say, study hard, work hard, dream big, and you can do anything. And I believed him, and he was right. We all have personal heroes, but we also have our favorite biblical heroes. The Bible is full of heroes. Hundreds of heroes, and so I have a few of mine that I'd like to share with you, but there are many, many more, and I'm sure that you all have your own personal Bible hero that you can relate to or you look to for their example. Well, of course, one that comes to my mind is Job. You know, there are things about Job that we'll never understand, but one thing we do understand is that Job lost it all. He lost his wife, he lost his kids, he lost his livestock, his farm, he lost his servants, he lost his health, he lost everything except his life. He had nothing left except his faith, and he never let go of his faith, and ultimately he was richly rewarded. Noah. Now, God asks us to do things. God asks us to live a life, a purpose-driven life. But God asked Noah to do something extraordinary. Build an ark. Build an ark in the absence of water and in the absence of rain. What's a boat and what do you need one for? But build a giant one. And here are the plans. Just get going. 120 years, Noah built this ark. And all the while, you know he had to be tormented. I mean, the neighbors had to come by every day and mock him every day relentlessly. Yet he kept going. And while he had faith, he didn't know until the first drop fell that his faith was going to be fulfilled and he was justified and right to do what he did. And of course, Esther, a reluctant hero, Queen Esther, the most beautiful woman in the land, and she was asked to go before the king and save the Jewish nation, and she did. She did it at great personal risk, expecting that she would be killed, because that was the tradition. But she did it anyway. She wasn't sure. She didn't want to. She had to be coerced and convinced, but she did it, and she did it, and she saved her people. David, a man after God's own heart, one rock in one sling. And you had to know that a man like that, when he swung that sling and he aimed it at that giant Goliath, he knew one of two things was going to happen. Either the giant would fall, or he'd see what God's backup plan was. But he knew that God had a plan, and he knew that God was in control, and whether he hit the giant in the eye or the head or the gut or wherever, or if he missed, that it was going to be okay because God was in control. John the Baptist, I like him because he got to introduce Jesus to the world. How would you like to be the master of ceremonies and say, now, I'd like to introduce to you my close friend, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And that's what John the Baptist got to do. I would love to have been there to see that. And then another reluctant hero, Paul. Paul had the good life, a Roman executive. And yet he, in search of the truth, now again, he was reluctant. He had to be coaxed and coerced, but once he saw where the real truth was, once he met Jesus, his life changed, and he gave up the good life for the great life. None of these heroes are perfect. They're people. They were reluctant. They were stubborn. They were angry sometimes. They made big mistakes along the way. But they were human, and they kept going. They corrected themselves and moved forward. What superpowers did any of these heroes have? None. Now, some of our Bible heroes, they worked miracles in the name of God, but they had no power among themselves. And did any of them dress in a superhero garb? Of course not. Did any of them want to call special attention to themselves? No, they didn't. They just had a job to do. So why did they do what they did? Because they asked themselves, if not me, then who? And they did it. And what did they expect in return? Nothing. Nothing at all. They just did the right thing. It was because they did what they did because it was the right thing to do, because they believed in a higher purpose, and they had faith. But how did they know? How did they know? They knew because they had an intimate and personal relationship with God, a relationship nurtured over time. And that relationship gave them the faith and resolve to act and to persevere. So then the question comes up, are we fundamentally different than our heroes? From the real heroes? I would say no, we're not different. From our false ones, our superheroes? Absolutely, we'll never be them. Our superheroes are Hollywood heroes. And they rely on self. They rely on their superpowers to get the job done. They rely on powers that don't really exist. They rely on good luck. And really, they rely on a good script writer. Our real heroes are real people like us. They were frightened, often uneducated, and often without a plan. But they had resolve, they had commitment, they had strength of character, and they had a vision of what was right. They were selfless, putting others ahead of themselves. They were willing to sacrifice even unto death because it was right. Were these people different than you and me here in this sanctuary? I would submit no. No, they are not, and we are not. I would submit that we are all called to be today's superheroes. We are called to learn what is right, to spend time with our Heavenly Father, have Him educate us, have us get to know Him as intimately as our Bible heroes did. And we are called to learn what is right. We are called to serve one another first. And we are called to stand up for what is right and to reject sin. We are called to extend ourselves outside of our comfort zone. We need to get uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me to be here. But we do it. We need to take a risk for our brothers and sisters for Christ. We are called to ask ourselves, if not me, then who? We are called to do this and more. And we are called to do all of this in humility. It means no cape, no tights, no look at me. We'll just do it. We are called to do this in the name of Jesus Christ, from whom all good things come. So again, can we do it? Of course we can. The Lord tells us we can. In Deuteronomy it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. In Isaiah it says, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I believe that you already are today's heroes and have been for a lifetime. It is not easy. And it will not be easy. We will get discouraged. We will fall down. And we will fail at times. We're people. But we are encouraged. In Colossians, it says, may you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. With the Holy Spirit in front of us and the Father behind us, and with Jesus by our side, we truly can do anything. God has seen us through trying times. And he will see us through the tough times ahead. God will not forsake it or abandon us, as he has in the past, and he does now, and he will in the future. He will be by our side. God will strengthen us when we are weak. He will assure us when we have doubt, lift us up when we fail, forgive us when we sin, and he will find us when we are lost. God is calling each of us to be a real-life superhero for Him, today and every day. At home, or at work, or at school, and in every little thing, He is calling us to set an example. He is not calling us to be perfect, and He is not calling us to be self-righteous. He is calling us to walk with Him. He is calling us to love Him. He is calling us to love one another, even when it's hard. He's calling us to serve Him as we serve one another. We can do it. I know we can. It will be uncomfortable. It will be frightening at times. But if we step out in full faith and seek God's counsel in prayer, if we listen closely for His still, small voice, if we invest in Him, He will invest in us. Then we can do the work. We can meet the challenge. We can say yes to our commission and live the life that God has planned for each of us. We can make a difference for Christ. We can make a difference at home, at church, at work, or at school. We can make a difference here in Oakhurst. Ultimately, we can make a difference throughout our great country and throughout the world. I praise God for His plans, for His example, and that He does count on us to be the real superheroes every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we can do nothing without You. But we can do everything with Your strength. So, Father, for myself and for everyone here, I ask, Lord, that You give us the courage to be uncomfortable, to step out, to reach out, to love and to serve, to answer hate with kindness, and spread the good news about our Savior, Jesus Christ, from whom all good things do come. Amen.